Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Matt Bubala filling in tonight for Patty. And I'm very excited to welcome into the studio, the first time I've ever got to meet in person, Miss Heidi Stevens. Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Matt.
Can I talk about what we were just talking about off the air?
Sure.
You know how small the world is sometimes. So Heidi's like, well, where do you live? And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so far out of the city. I live in West Dundee. And she looks at me and her eyes get really wide. I grew up in West Dundee.
I grew up there.
Which is like, it's not like saying, oh, I grew up in Aurora or Naperville.
No, it's small.
It's very small.
And it's not very close to the city.
It's a suburb of Elgin, for goodness sake.
It's not like, oh, I grew up in Oak Park. Oh, so did I.
No.
Yeah.
It is not like that.
No.
Tiny little town on the banks of the Fox River. So we're going to bring you back. We're going to have like a parade. You grew up to become Chicago Tribune columnist Heidi Stevens.
I've been waiting for a parade.
Can really?
Ticker tape?
Let me see what I can do. I don't have much pull in West Dundee, but I'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
Maybe East Dundee. Maybe like
come down
to Banditos and we'll
and then we could do Dairy Queen.
Oh God, we love that Dairy Queen. We have the greatest small town little Dairy Queen that still closes and, you know, around Thanksgiving, opens back up in January, and we're all excited to get down to the Dairy Queen.
It's on a bike trail.
It is. We have a gorgeous trail out there.
No, you do. We do.
We do.
I can still claim ownership, can't I?
Yeah, because Mom and Dad still live out there. You still get out to West Indy on occasion. But we brought you here on a more serious note tonight, and thank you so much for coming in.
Sure.
This is online already. Is it in our Sunday Tribune?
No, it's not. Actually, I have a different Mother's Day column. So I don't know if that one will go in print.
Did they say, let's go lighter on actual Mother's Day, Heidi? Let's do this one now, and then let's go lighter for Mother's Day?
Well, the Mother's Day one that's in print is a little more inspirational. It's about a girl who came to the United States when she was six from the Philippines, and her single mom raised her and her siblings, worked 11-hour days waitressing, babysits on the weekends, and now Maria, the girl I wrote about for Sunday, is going to Harvard.
Yeah.
She got into Stanford and Harvard. She turned down Stanford. She's going to Harvard.
And this was all with a mom who was a single parent.
Single mom, worked her butt off for her kids, and it paid off.
Did you get to talk to the mom, too?
I did. I talked to the mom. I talked to
Maria. Is she just beaming?
She's beaming. She said, I'm in heaven. I couldn't ask for more.
That's incredible.
She said she cried when she stepped foot on Harvard because she went with her daughter to tour the campus.
Yeah.
So that's the Mother's Day column, which is a little lighter and more uplifting.
Yeah. Well, but no less important than what you wrote. And is this appearing only online then?
I think so, yeah.
So the headline is Forget Flowers, I Want a Sea Change on Guns for Mother's Day. And you talk in the article about the recent shootings. We hear about shootings every day, nonstop here in Chicago. But the odd shootings that have happened, the woman who was shot in the neck while riding home from the Wisconsin Dells with her husband and two young kids, and she died earlier this week.
Yeah.
Kelly Chapman, whose daughter Chloe, not yet 2 years old, was shot in the back of the head while riding home from daycare in her aunt's car. And Leo Betancourt, a 13-year-old, who was shot to death while riding in an SUV on Monday night. So three different shootings in cars.
Right.
And you talk in the piece about how, you know, everybody can say, we need more guns, we need to defend ourselves, and if these people had this and if those people had that, then this wouldn't happen.
Right.
But here's three instances where you have no chance of defending yourself.
Right.
It's a random stray thing, whatever it is, whether it was planned or not. There's no defense for an ambush like this, right? And you said that, you know, here's what I want for Mother's Day, because you're thinking instead of when you get these flowers, you're going to be thinking about these moms and how anybody could get through that day thinking about what has happened in their lives and happened to their children or, you know, their families. And you posted it online and you said right away, I know the comments are coming.
Mm-hmm.
You take a lot of heat when you write things like this. You said that back in October you had written about gun violence and lockdown drills. And you got an interesting letter from somebody named Daniel Hughes. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, Daniel lives in Australia. He is Australian. He's not, you know, an American who had moved there. But his parents live in Chicago. So he follows, you know, Chicago gun violence pretty closely. And he said his mom actually had mailed him the column I wrote in October, which talked about how my kids are doing these lockdown drills that all children now are doing in schools in the United States, which is heartbreaking in and of itself. And what Daniel wrote was about the gun laws in Australia, which are much stricter than ours. And granted, they don't have a constitution with a Second Amendment in it. But what he talked about was this mass shooting in 1996 that inspired the Australian government to do a total lockdown on guns and ban them altogether, assault rifles anyway. And he is watching the gun violence play out in the United States day after day after day, and especially in Chicago, and just sort of astounded at what he said seems to be this need to fight fire with more fire,
yeah,
rather than putting the fire out. And I just have been thinking a lot about his letter in the past week, especially as I think about this mom from Buffalo Grove who was riding home from the Dells with her kids and is now dead. And these children are going to wake up on Sunday, on Mother's Day, and not have a mom. And this woman, Kelly, whose little girl has a bullet lodged in the back of her head. She's walking around with a bullet lodged in her head. And we're getting numb to this stuff. I mean, we're not.
That's the thing is the Dells is like the craziest thing. That's the only thing that makes that, you know, different,
right,
about every other day here in Chicago.
Right. It's the fact that she was on 9094 coming home from the Dells. If she had been shot, you know, on, you know, Stony Island, people would think that was all that unusual.
They wouldn't at all, because we hear about those stories every single day. There's always a headline in the Tribune and on our other news sources in Chicago about how many were shot every day in Chicago, and we are completely numb to it, and we're doing absolutely nothing about it.
We're doing nothing, and that's why that letter sort of shook me awake and why I wanted to reprint, you know, a portion of it. And I don't know, to be honest, if that's really the solution. It's certainly not a feasible one. I mean, no one's going to go around taking away everyone's guns in the United States. They're just not. As much as people talk about that being a fear, it's not going to happen.
But we could quit adding more every day.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing is, I believe in the Second Amendment. I know it was there, and we can debate and argue all day about it, but it doesn't mean there can't be limits to things. There's limits on everything in our world.
Right.
Right? We have to go through more to get a driver's license than a gun, it seems. And you can argue both ways on this all you want. But if the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, and we argue why was that, because we need to be able to defend ourselves, then why do we need a semi-automatic rifle to defend ourselves? Why do we need some of these things? Now, it probably wasn't a semi-automatic rifle that shot her on by the Dells, and maybe that doesn't change because we still have handguns or we still have whatever. But we have to do something. We have to at some point say we can't just say more guns is always the solution. I know people that honestly believe that if in all of these situations, if these people had something, then this could have happened. But when kids are playing with guns and shooting themselves, or innocent people are getting shot in cars, you know, those could have been prevented, maybe by people just being smarter, maybe by just not allowing guns in the first place. And like Daniel said in this letter, without guns, crazy people are just crazy people. With guns, they're very, very dangerous. And I know that's wording that we don't necessarily want to use all the time, but we have mental illness issues in this country that don't get addressed well enough. And people still have easy access to guns, and criminals have easy access to guns, and all sorts of people have very easy access to guns. And you can argue all you want about if we just use the laws we have and we're more strict with those and all of these things. But I just am not one that's ever understood the idea that we need to have more access to, you know, the most powerful types of things we could have. Why do we need to have the ability to kill 50 people within 10 seconds?
Yeah, and a lot of the same arguments in favor of that ability to buy as many guns as we want. A lot of those arguments are just starting to wear thin when we have more than 1,000 people shot in Chicago this year alone. We have this mom who loses her life on the way home from the Dells. We have the toddler. We have the 13-year-old who you mentioned, Leo Betancourt. And the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. It doesn't work in those instances. The gang violence in Chicago doesn't work in those instances. The woman was shot by someone from Milwaukee driving home. The arguments that we hear that people use to explain away gun violence and poo-poo the people calling for gun control aren't working anymore.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing the body count go up and the arguments stay the same and no action being taken, and it's frustrating.
And I believe this past Black Friday we heard the headline that we've sold more guns in America than ever on Black Friday this year. And it's ironic that there was this threat of Obama's going to take away your guns, And boy, for you people that don't like President Obama, here's one place he failed very miserably. He did not get everybody's guns. He had 8 years to do it. And boy, were you duped. Ha ha, you suckers that bought hundreds of guns because he was going to come take them all away. Now you're sitting there with hundreds of guns and nowhere to have any fun. We're going to take a quick break if you wanted to make a comment on any of these topics. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala in for Patty Vasquez, sitting here with Heidi Stevens from your Chicago Tribune. Patty Vasquez Show on Radio 720 WGN. Matt Bubala sitting with Heidi Stevens from your Chicago Tribune. We're talking about Heidi's piece on Mother's Day and how flowers feel a little hollow this year when there are families who aren't just subject to gun violence, ridiculously weird random gun violence. You're driving in a car and you get shot. And that has happened several times in the last couple of weeks. And we're talking off the air that, you know, it seems like there will never be. I was mentioning that I had read something that somebody said, I don't remember who now, but, you know, after Sandy Hook, if after all these young kids are slaughtered by guns, we do not change the gun laws, then there is seems that there's no hope that we've just decided, no, pretty much nothing can make us change our gun laws. Mm-hmm. You know, that once we get to that.
Yeah, we can worry about children in public restrooms, but we're not going to protect them from with guns while they're at school.
It does seem that way. 630 writes, are guns the problem or the people shooting them? And mental illness is not the main issue. So that's there's your argument that's been had for years. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I don't know how to fight that argument except that, but the people are killing people with guns. There's nobody is stabbing somebody on the highway and killing them as they drive by in their car. Nobody is going into a school and stabbing 100 kids. Maybe if there were no guns, that would happen once in a while. But you know what? If somebody's stabbing somebody, somebody will get them before they get 35 people because you don't have to have another gun to fight them off.
They also don't serve any other purpose other than to kill. Guns don't. And so you hear, you know, well, you could kill somebody with a car. You could kill somebody with, you know, a broken bottle. You could kill somebody. But other things serve a purpose.
Well, we can kill somebody with our hands. So we can never completely de-escalate the possibility of killing somebody.
But your hands serve many other purposes.
They do. They
you don't
do.
Want to take away people's hands or cars
absolutely.
Or glass bottles.
Absolutely. And we don't, generally none of those other things can provide a mass killing atmosphere the way that guns do. And I know that's a separate issue is the mass killings. Because we also have just these random acts of violence mm-hmm. and everything that happens here in Chicago every day that's one person at a time getting shot or getting killed. Mm-hmm. And people do get stabbed. Those things happen. But it's not we don't have 1,000 stabbings. If we don't have guns, there's not 1,000 stabbings going on. Bill is on 720 WGN. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What did you want to say?
Man, I live in Chicago. I've lived here my whole life. I'm an older guy. I don't have a gun or guns or whatever I just think that it's kind of high in the sky to think that, you know, by having stronger gun laws, that it's going to cure this problem. These gun laws are not to take guns off the street. And, Heidi, I know you're well-intentioned. I've lived in the south side of Chicago my whole life. I was a teacher. I taught in the worst neighborhood you could teach in. And you know what? These laws are passed for lawyers. That's how they're passed for. I know police officers that have taken hundreds of guns off the street. And when they go to court, everybody walks. There's no one that ever gets in trouble for illegal guns. If they want to have a gun law that says, you know what, you get caught with a gun and you're going to go away and you're going to go away for a long time, I'm all for it. I'm not for guns. The Tribune and all these other people ignore the horrible, horrible things that are going on in the South Side and the West Side. And everybody knows where these things take place. And all these poor kids are getting slaughtered day in and day out. And as long as all the people that the opinion makers can go back to their suburban homes and say, oh, this is what they should do. No, it's not that simple. That's my opinion.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. I will jump in and say I disagree that the Tribune ignores it, because they write about it just about every day if you look for it in your newspaper. And most of the news sources in town do. And it's not just on the South Side. That's the thing we're talking about here. Yes, there are horrendous things going on in the South Side with guns every day. But it's happening now on the way back from the Dells, for goodness sakes. And in other areas, we're seeing it. And that, what you know, you were just talking about, Bill, doesn't address Sandy Hook and all these other areas. But I would agree that the government does not do enough. I mean, they're hamstrung. The lawmakers, I will say, the special interests are. I mean, listen, the NRA said somebody said the NRA should have a say in our next Supreme Court judge, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Well, and he's exactly right about tightening up existing laws and actually making sure that they're followed. And that needs to be done, too. And a lot of people will argue Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, and yet look at our gun violence. So
we did, but I thought those got struck down.
Well, they're strict, but they're, you know, they don't cover for the guns that come in from Indiana and Wisconsin and other states. And the problem with not having federal gun legislation is that's what happens. So a city can have the strictest gun laws it wants. If people can go across the state line and buy guns there and bring them over, then, you know, how effective are your laws?
Yeah. Somebody texted, cigarettes don't kill people, smokers kill themselves. And that's an interesting way to say it, because we'll tax the snot out of smoking. We won't let you smoke in a million different places for the public health as well as anything else.
Yeah.
But we will not dare take away your right to own a gun.
Right.
Or even restrict it. And that's what we're saying. That's what I'm saying, at least. We don't need to take away our right to own a gun. Why can't we restrict the snot out of it and make it very difficult? Limit the amount you have. Limit the amount of bullets that can be fired from one. Why can't we do all that? We do have the police and all these other facilities for protection. And the right to bear arms originally, some would say, was to fight off, you know, because we were a newfound country and,
right.
and we could be overthrown.
Militia.
Yeah, we needed all these things that we don't necessarily anymore. I hope you have a very happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Stay out of trouble in West Dundee.
I will. You too. Enjoy the baseball games.
I'm going to start working on the ticker tape parade for you.
Thank you.
You're Heidi Stevens and your Chicago Tribune. News is next on 720 WGN.